turn to our scripture reading and text from Hebrews 10, I would ask you to turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 33. Page 33, we find Lord's Day 26, pages 33 and 34. And I'm actually going to expand it to the first two questions and answers of Lord's Day 27, as they also fit with our consideration tonight. We'll save question and answer 74, which has to do with infant baptism. We'll save that for next time, the Lord willing. But Lord's Day 26, questions and answers 69, 70, 71, and then 72 and 73, quite a bit for us to give expression to tonight. Page 33, question 69. How does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity, in other words, all my sins. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart to be a member of Christ, so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. Page 34. Where does Christ promise that we are washed with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." This promise is repeated when Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Question 72, does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No, only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? God has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that the blood and spirit of Christ wash away our sins just as water washes away dirt from our bodies. But more important, he wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that the washing away of our sins spiritually is as real as physical washing with water. We turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We know there's a common theme that runs through the book of Hebrews, pointing back to the Old Testament sacrificial system, the high priesthood, and so forth. We'll read together the first 25 verses, and we want to particularly notice verses 19 through 22. Beginning at verse 10, as we give attention to the reading of God's holy word. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered year every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. Then he added, Behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with it the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Again, verses 19 through 22, our text. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There ends the reading of God's holy word. Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, some say that a picture is worth a thousand words. Boys and girls, very simply, what that means is that a picture, a good picture, I would suggest, is it tells a story. It tells an amazing story. It's worth a thousand words. And I would suggest that we can say this is especially true of the visible gospel pictures that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us, namely the sacraments by which we see with our eyes the gospel message that we hear with our ears. And when it comes to baptism, we know that it tells indeed a wonderful story, a story that even the youngest child is able to understand, that young child that knows what a bath is all about, a child that understands the relationship between dirt and water. At a young age, we see that they get their hands dirty somehow, and they want to clean those hands off. They understand the relationship between dirt and water. They then are able to understand in a simple way the story of the powerful cleansing that the believer enjoys. Baptism points to the believer's blessing of confidently drawing near to God. The picture that baptism gives to us, the story that it tells, points to confidently drawing near to God. And beloved, this confidently drawing near to God, first of all, rests upon the perfect foundation. Our text begins, Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Now, very simply, the writer points to the final sacrifice for sin, and that final sacrifice is Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews is giving us an historical review here. He is addressing the Christian Jews who were being tempted and pressured to turn back to Judaism, especially with the Old Testament temple and sacrificial system. He has been, not just in the immediate context, but in the chapters leading up to this, he has been painstakingly reminding them of the work of the Old Covenant high priests, of the animal sacrifices, of the Holy of Holies with that curtain which meant danger, keep out. He has been painstakingly reminding them of the necessity of the ongoing sacrifices, because the Old Testament priests were sinful and the animal blood could not truly pay for sin. And therefore, he has been painstakingly reminding them of the restriction of the earthly tabernacle, and that the earthly Holy of Holies was closed to them, reminding them of all of that versus their confidence in Christ. A confidence that he spoke of in chapter 4, verse 16, where we read, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Confidence in Christ, because he is the fulfillment. He himself is the fulfillment of all of the work of the high priest. He is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament animal sacrifices, which all pointed forward to him. He is the fulfillment of all of these things, first of all, as the sacrificer. He is the great high priest. And because of him, no other high priest is needed like those in the Old Testament. We read in chapter 7, verses 26 and 27, "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest," talking about Jesus, "holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need like those high priests to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered of himself." He is the sacrificer and the one, therefore, who has offered the sacrifice, which is him. He is also the sacrifice. He is the one great sacrifice that he himself offered, whose blood alone satisfied God's wrath against sin and paid the curse of sin. We read in chapter 10, verse 4 again, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." That was his accomplishment. He is the one who took away sin. In chapter 9, verse 12, the writer says, "He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." And then in verse 26 of that chapter, "But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." That was his accomplishment, to take away sin. Beloved, his final sacrifice for sin results in the open door. Verses 19 and 20 again, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain," that is, through his flesh. His final sacrifice for sin results in the open door, of which the only key is by the blood of Jesus. Again, boys and girls, we know that the animal sacrifices, the blood of the animal sacrifices, could not truly pay for sin. God blessed his people in the sense that that blood covered in God's sight for a time the sins of his people, as it pointed forward to the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood alone removes the sin that barred our way, that blocked our way from the very presence of God. That curtain in the Old Testament tabernacle, again, that said, "Danger, keep out," it really provided protection for the sinner from coming into God's holy presence improperly. Similarly to the fact that the angel stationed at the Garden of Eden did not allow Adam back. Imagine that, if Adam, in his sinful condition, was able to get back into the garden and get to the tree of life. How devastating that would have been for each and every one of us. In the same way, that curtain in the Old Testament tabernacle provided protection for the sinner from coming into God's holy presence improperly. It provided protection for the sinner from being consumed by his holiness, which, as the writer says, is a consuming fire against all that is unholy. But that curtain has been torn. The only proper way into God's holy presence is by the shed blood of Jesus. When he said, "It is finished," when he committed his spirit to his Father, when he breathed his last, that curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom by God himself, with a powerful message that by his sacrifice unto death, beloved, Jesus Christ has removed the veil. He has removed the very barrier that was between God and his people. Jesus Christ is the wide open door into the very presence of God by faith for those who would believe in Him. He is the only way. The writer says a new and living way. That word new can be translated in an interesting way. It can be translated just slaughtered. Just slaughtered. In that way, maintaining the connection with and pointing back to the animal sacrifices and the old system and the blood being sprinkled on the mercy seat. A just slaughtered way. Not one was slaughtered like this before. A new way, a way that was not accessible before, a newly provided way, the only way, a living way in fellowship with the living Christ, and it is itself the way to life. And as well, dear people of God, it is a way that will always be open because Jesus Christ is the eternal high priest. That's been the burden of the writer in these chapters, that Jesus Christ is the eternal high priest. In verse 21, he simply says, "And since we have a great priest over the house of God." His work will never end. As long as this world remains, as long as He continues to gather together the elect of God from before the foundation of the world, as long as His people continue to struggle with sin in this life, on this side of glory, His work will never end. And this indeed is to be to our comfort, again, as the writer says in chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, "But He holds His priesthood permanently because He continues forever. Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." You see, beloved, His blood was not just effective for the initial conversion of anyone, for your initial conversion or mine. His blood didn't simply pay for the sins that you and I committed up until the time we were brought to believe in Him by faith. But He will see us through this life all the way to eternal glory. His blood has no expiration date. And His sphere of influence is over the house of God, the church universal, all believers who are brought to faith in Him. Christ's priestly task continues even after His atoning work on earth was finished some 2,000 years ago, and until He returns, any and all who turn to Him in faith. It's as if with each and every one of them, He turns to the Heavenly Father with the sacrifice of His own blood. It's as if He says, "I have done it for him. I have done it for her." And He has silenced any accusation Satan could ever try to make. Beloved, may we confidently, without reservation, draw near to God and seek His face. Because ours is the perfect foundation, Jesus Christ, who offered that perfect sacrifice of Himself, a sacrifice that has been and continues to be accepted by His Father. And therefore, beloved, we must never think, no matter what we are called upon to face in life, no matter how difficult or hard this life becomes, we must never ever think that God doesn't hear His people who come to Him in faith, because Jesus Christ is our guarantee that He does. And in Him, the Heavenly Father will take care of us as He knows best. And this is because those who rest on the perfect foundation confidently draw near, in the second place, clothed with the new condition. You see, we can only dwell in the presence of God a certain way, which has been affected only by Jesus Christ and His blood. Again, all of this that we have said so far is what baptism pictures for us. Even His ongoing work for you and me from this time until He comes again. Our baptisms are to be comforting to you and me because of what we have in Christ, because of what we continue to have in Christ. And for those who believe on Him, it points as well to the new condition that we have, affected only by Jesus Christ and His blood. In verse 22, He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." That new condition indeed includes the condition of the sincerity of heart, the opposite of a false and the opposite of a hypocritical and a deceitful heart, the opposite of a heart that is dead in sin, not a perfect heart, but yet a sincere heart, a heart that is true, a heart that is upright and honest, a genuine heart that is no longer at enmity with God, but a heart that knows Him truly, that knows Him in truth. A heart that understands what He has done. Because that new condition also includes true faith, the full assurance of faith, the text says. And the writer goes on to give us a definition in chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And God, in His providence, has given us, through the writers of the Catechism, a beautiful description of the things that are hoped for, the things that are not seen, in the Catechism's definition of true faith. True faith is not only a knowledge and conviction that everything God reveals in His Word is true, it is also a deep-rooted assurance created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that out of sheer grace earned for us by Christ, not only others, but I too, and now we come to the things hoped for, the things not seen, I too have had my sins forgiven, have been made forever right with God, and have been granted salvation. Beloved, a sincere heart with the full assurance of faith is one, is a heart that has certainty, a heart that is filled to the fullest measure possible, a heart that believes without a doubt that the merits of Christ's blood and righteousness are for me too. A heart that understands and believes that I am right with God both now and forever because mine is a new condition of forgiveness, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Again, the Bible leads us again and again after Psalm 51 as well, that there is a connection between our sin and our need for forgiveness and cleansing, sprinkling, cleaning. Sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Not literally, boys and girls. Not physically having His blood sprinkled on us. But pointing to the blood that Jesus shed with which He paid for our sin to satisfy God's justice so that before God we are now not guilty. We are justified before the sight of God. Question 70 again asks, why then does the Holy Spirit... What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and Spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in His sacrifice on the cross. The believer comes before God forgiven with no fear that God will say. If there's any fear, beloved, it ought to be on our part because we continue to struggle with sin. But on God's part, the believer comes before God forgiven with no fear that God will ever say, away with you. He will never say, it's not enough. He will never ever say, I've changed my mind about you. All because Christ's blood has washed away my sin. As the writer says in verse 10, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We are sanctified. We have been made objectively holy before the sight of God, and we are being sanctified. We are being cleansed. We are being made holy as our hearts are cleansed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Catechism says that we are also washed by Christ's Spirit. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart to be a member of Christ so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. The Holy Spirit gives new birth. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of faith to believe and to receive Jesus Christ and all of His benefits. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to say in truth, Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit gives us the confidence that we are justified in the sight of God, and the Holy Spirit continues to be busy sanctifying you and me, through which, because of the sin we still commit, we are reminded daily that our salvation is only because of the work of Jesus Christ. And we are reminded daily that we can only draw near to God with confidence because He has secured our place in the family of God. He reminds us of the fact, as the Catechism says, that we have been set apart to be members of Christ. We have been set apart by God through the gift of faith. And He assures us of this in the third place by that visible illustration called baptism. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, his audience, of the Old Testament cleansing ritual. In verse 22 again, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Beloved, again, the sacrament of baptism, our physical baptisms, are a picture of something indeed so powerful. Of all that we have already said. A picture of the truth that our salvation, we are reminded daily through our baptisms that our salvation is only because of the work of Jesus Christ. We are reminded that we can only draw near to God, as I said a moment ago, in confidence because He has secured our place in the family of God. Baptism is a visible picture of that for those who believe. And again, the writer of Hebrews reminds us of the Old Testament cleansing ritual in various passages throughout Exodus and Leviticus. We read about Aaron and his sons, the priests, who were sprinkled with the literal blood of the sacrifice, and they were washed with water before ministering on behalf of God on behalf of His people. And that sprinkling with the blood, that washing with water served as a visible illustration of the need of the blood of another to pay for sin. It was a picture of the need of being cleansed and holy before God, even for the priests, because they were sinful. And now, since that final sacrifice for sin has been made once for all by the perfect and eternal high priest, and since there is no more physical blood need be shed, all those who believe are inwardly washed by the blood of Jesus, which He shed, and we are given a visible illustration of that in the sacrament of baptism. Baptism is the washing that the New Testament knows of. The writer of Hebrews talks about bodies washed with pure water as a sign and a seal of hearts cleansed from a guilty conscience by the internal sprinkling of Christ's blood. And therefore, baptism for the believer comes with a certainty. In question and answer 69, how does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly His blood and His spirit wash away my soul's impurity, in other words, all my sins. And then again, 72 and 73, does the outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanses from all our sin. Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sin? God has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that the blood and Spirit of Christ wash away our sins just as, not because, but just as water washes away dirt from our bodies. Boys and girls, you can understand that. That just as water washes away dirt from our bodies, the blood and Spirit of Christ wash away our sins. But more important, He wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that the washing away of our sins spiritually is as real as physical washing with water. It is as real. Just as, boys and girls, again, you wash your body with water and you can feel that water. You can feel that it's real. That in the very same way, for those who believe, the washing away of our sins is just as real as that. Again, we know that the water, the physical water of baptism, is only really good for removing physical dirt from the body. Yet, we say that the sacraments are outward signs of an inward reality of invisible grace. Baptism is a picture And a promise, again, of everything that we have said up to this point, all that the writer of Hebrews has to teach to us. Yet all of this is true for one, not because that one has been physically baptized. That physical baptism doesn't merit us the forgiveness of our sins. It doesn't make us washed with the blood of Jesus. But all of this is true because one has faith and believes God's promise. You see, beloved, the message of baptism, we need to understand this, especially in our day when so many are turning away from the truth that we understand with regard to baptism. The message of baptism, we need to understand that message of baptism is that it's God's promise. Very simply, the message of baptism is that it is God's promise. Baptism is about something that He does. It's not about us and what we do. That's why we baptize infants, as we hope to consider next week. God's promise. It's God's promise, a visible picture of God's promise. A visible picture to those who are in a covenant relationship with Him, those whom He has brought into that covenant relationship with Him. The sign of that covenant relationship in the Old Testament we know was circumcision. And Paul ties circumcision to baptism, we know. The New Testament sign is baptism. God had the right to say who was included in His covenant. He says believers and their seed. Some received that sign after they had faith, like Abraham. Many received that sign before they were given the gift of faith. To say that one has to believe and to profess their faith in order to receive the sign of God's promise, in order to receive that sign, is to say that I must do something in order to get God's promise, and that is nothing short of works righteousness. The message of baptism, this picture, is worth a thousand words, many more than a thousand words. It is worth the fullness of the gospel message. For those who believe, baptism is a comforting sign of the full assurance of faith. Again, that all of my sins are forgiven, that I have been made forever right with God, that I have been granted salvation. We can go beyond that to say that I have died with Christ, died to my sin with Christ in baptism, that I have been raised to newness of life. Boys and girls, if you believe in Jesus Christ, even though you don't remember your baptism, even you don't remember when you were given that sign of God's promise, when that promise was signified on your forehead. Yet if you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the only way for you to be saved from spending eternal punishment in hell, and instead the only way to live forever in the glorious presence of God, and if you desire to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you don't remember your baptism, if you believe in Jesus Christ, it means all of this is true for you. If you do not yet believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, yet you are being taught the truth of Him. You are being taught what your baptism pictures, what God promised you in your baptism. If you are being taught that baptism points to God's faithful promises, then when you believe, when you receive Jesus Christ and all of its benefits by faith, you may have the full confidence that all of this is true for you and it will never, ever be taken away from you. But you must also understand that your physical baptism, this picture that you are given to see, is also a sermon to you. It is a call. It is God's call, loud and clear, for you to repent of your sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to claim those precious promises that He has given to you. The truth of baptism, beloved, also means that apart from Jesus Christ, that apart from His blood, that there is no sacrifice for sin. That apart from Him, there is no cleansing agent for sin. And therefore, apart from Him and His blood, there is no being made right with God. There is absolutely no hope. In Jesus Christ, though, God's promise is sure for all those who would look to him in repentance and faith. God's promise is sure that he will not change his mind about those who trust in Christ alone. The confidence of baptism, beloved, is that those who enjoy such a great salvation are to always be confidently drawing near to God in Jesus' name, because his blood has already made us right with God. It does not mean that we will never sin again. It does not mean that you and I will never struggle with sin. We can wish for that. We are even called to strive for that. But because God sees us as cleansed of sin in Christ Jesus, we have a without a doubt confidence that we are his possession. He will never let us go. We have without a doubt confidence that he hears our prayers, that he protects and provides for and preserves his family. And we have without a doubt confidence that all of the promises of his word belong to you and to me. And we know that this world puts its hope into the things that are here today and gone tomorrow, whether they be things like investment schemes or bailout plans, which I've heard again, government bailout plans with regard to the politicians in our day on the advertisements. But our eternal hope is in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ that alone makes us right with God. And therefore, beloved, may our water baptisms, whether you received it not that many years ago or whether you received it more years ago than you would even like to admit, may our water baptisms be so very precious to each and every one of us, as we are reminded through them of the cleansing from sin that we so desperately needed and that Christ has accomplished. As we are also reminded of the comfort that is ours, even though we continue to struggle in this life with sin and shame until the life to come. And as we are reminded through our baptisms that we are new creatures being renewed more and more day by day. And indeed, beloved, may our physical baptisms then motivate us to live that new life in Christ Jesus. And may we remember always in our baptisms, by which God physically marked us as his own, may we remember in our baptisms the message of his gospel promise to all those who believe, that you are mine. Indeed, beloved, to God be the glory. Let's bow together in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, indeed, when the world around us can only believe that which they can see, we thank you that in our weakness you have also given to us that which we can see, pointing to the truth of the gospel, the holy sacraments. And Father, we know that indeed physical baptism does not gain us cleansing from sin. It does not effect for us cleansing from all of our sin by the blood of Jesus. Only true faith by the grace of God will effect that for Jesus' sake. But we thank you for that blessed picture, and may we see each and every time we have the privilege to participate in this sacrament by witnessing it, and each and every time we think about our own physical water baptisms, may we be reminded that we are able to draw near to God for the sake of the blood of Jesus that washes away and cleanses us from all of our sins. Indeed, we thank you for that picture of new life for all those who are in Christ alone. We thank you for the motivation that you give to us through our sacraments that we have received to live for Christ, to live as new creatures in Christ alone. And Father, may that truth be powerfully and generously taught to our children as well, that they may understand, and by your grace, that you would bring them to the time when they would say, yes, I believe and I trust, and I claim the promises of God that were signified and sealed to me in my baptism. Father, we thank you for such a great salvation and such a great Savior. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.